Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Core is powered by listeners and viewers like you. To support Core and its hosts, go to patreon.com/coreshow today.
Vulkathos, I have never prayed to you before. I ask you, grant me one request. Improve my MMR. This is Core. You, Death by Snoo Snoo.
Yeah. What's going on, everybody? It's Core. Welcome back. It's a show about Heroes of the Storm with me, Scott Johnson, Beau Schwartz, and John Jagger. And we're back on the heels of our very successful and well done, I think, charity auction that we did. Or not auction, charity brawl thing we did on Saturday. We did the Heroes Charity Brawl at heroescharitybrawl.net, where we're still taking donations if you want to go over there. But we played a bunch of weird games, had a total blast. Later in the show, we'll talk about it a little bit more and talk about some of the game modes we played and whether or not we may see those in the game proper, because there is some history for that. But I had a great time, and it was really good, and we made a bunch of money, and congratulations to you for being so generous, and we gave it all to Make-A-Wish, unless John takes it and sticks it into a weird account we don't know about. But as far as I know, all of it, every penny, goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's the secret other button they have on GoFundMe. You tell them you're going to put on a charity event, and then at the end when you're cashing out, they say, now, did you really want to give this to charity, yeah, or did you want to put it in your pocket? And yeah, I always get tempted every year, but you know, they shouldn't put the buttons right next to each other.
But then you think about the kids, and and they do the right thing every time. So well done, everybody. North of $5,000. We beat our goal from last year by some number. And if you, like I said, still want to go over there and help out because you're like, oh, I missed the whole thing, but I really like that charity. It's still there for, what, another half a week or something?
Yeah, we'll keep it up till Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's at heroescharitybrawl.net. So go do it. And it was great. I had a blast. I loved it.
It's tax deductible. You can deduct it off your tax.
That's right. Unless you're in, if you're in what do North you do? America. You guys pay taxes up there, right, in Canada?
You sure do.
Okay. Yep. Do you do it like we do it? You got like a deadline and all that?
Yeah, April 30th, I think, or something like that. And they take a lot more up here than they do down there because, you know, we're a little bit more socialist than you are.
Yeah.
But the whole tax idea is there. And you do get to, I don't know about Canadians. I think it must apply, but you do get to deduct it from your income tax, at least if you're in North America.
Look, someone's got to pay for all those appendix removals or whatever you guys do up there for free. Someone's got to pay for it.
Only difference I know of is their documents have to be submitted between two flapjacks covered in maple syrup.
Oh,
how'd you know?
Oh my gosh. You could move to Canada now, John, and fit right in.
I'm pretty prepared, honestly.
Yeah. He already slides things between two flapjacks. We call them pancakes where I live, but it's fine. Anyway, hey, we're back and we're ready to dive in. It's actually kind of a big week between last we spoke on this show anyway. Blizzard made a pretty big new announcement that I think matched up pretty well with some predictions we made over the months. One of which was when we might see a new battleground and what it might be based on. I think we've all said Warcraft for the longest time. But anyway, we're going to get to that. And we're going to talk about what they actually announced, what hero we're getting, whether we're excited about any of this stuff or not. Ron Howard should come in now and go, they were excited. And also, before we do that, though, I want to make a comment about something somebody threw at me earlier on Twitter. Somebody said to me, Scott, do you think it's possible that one day Blizzard would figure out a way to get Heroes of the Storm on other platforms, broaden the base of the player base by moving it around to other platforms, consoles, handhelds like the Switch, maybe even mobile, but probably not. But, you know, like, why can't you get a PlayStation 4 and expect to play one of Blizzard's great games, Heroes of the Storm, on it? They did a damn fine job with Diablo 3 on that platform, and it played great with a controller. So what's the problem there? And my answer to you would be, let's talk about it. Because I actually think there's some possibilities here. Now, the problem is, it'd be a ton of work. That's the one thing. Because you've got a lot of characters in this game whose abilities and moves and the way that they function from a very basic mechanical level is very mouse and keyboard driven. And for them to say, well, why don't we make that not that? It was easier in the Diablo world because really you just had to create movement and, you know, targeting basically was your main two challenges there. In this game, there's a lot more to it than that. There are some mechanics I think that translate really well. Let's take Johanna, for example. What's her Q, or is it her W? What's the one where it makes the circle and sucks everybody in? What's that called?
Condemn?
No, that's the one where you flash the light in their eyes. I don't remember.
What? Are you talking about Johanna?
Yeah, Johanna. Yeah.
It's a W. It's condemn. That makes a circle that sucks everyone in.
Okay, that's condemn. Okay.
Q is punish.
Oh my gosh. Condemn. I was accidentally right.
You were accidentally right. I like that. So let's take her, for example. That's an easy thing to map to a controller and just tap when you're ready to use it. No big deal. Sure. But then let's take something like, I don't know, Jaina's Frostbolt. That thing is very skill driven. And maybe when everyone's on controllers, then, you know, this whatever drop in control you may have applies to everybody, so it wouldn't be such a problem. But anyway, I just know there are a whole bunch of things about that game, just getting around the map, navigating the mini map, like some of that just real basic core functionality that they would have a really hard time translating. That being said, Tencent's about to release Arena of Valor on the Switch. It's in beta now. And it looks like it plays really well, like straight up pretty good MOBA experience there. And that game is enormous, technically the biggest MOBA in the world if you count the Asian audience. So why not? Let's throw it around the table. Bo, why can't I have Heroes on a PC and then a version? It doesn't have to play with the same people, just like the Diablo port. It can play with other people, have their own little player base, but why can't I go to my console, to my Xbox, my PlayStation, or whatever my platform of choice is, and fire that thing up?
I think technically you could. I think there's nothing stopping any company from doing. I'm sure you could find solutions. There are, I like to hear the game developers say, there are solves for things like, you know, Alarak's telekinesis that requires a mouse paintbrush stroke for your vector targeting to work on a controller. It might, you know, I'm sure there are solves for all the things that it would have to translate to. Would it be worth it? I don't think so, because I think the true way to play MOBA is perceived as a mouse and keyboard game. So you're playing the crap version of the main thing. So unless there's like a lot of money to be had from doing so, I don't think it's worth doing. I'm actually quite frankly surprised that Arena of Valor is successful.
Oh, it is beyond successful. Like hundreds of millions of dollars a month or something. Like,
because like my perception of it, and I haven't played it, and it isn't to be insulting of it, but it's a crap version of a game. Like that's how I look at it. That's my perception of it, and I won't play it. And no doubt that it isn't. It's probably fun and it's probably good, and maybe it's making tons of money, and the next generation of gamers are going to be playing on with controllers and stuff. But from my view, I prefer to play with mouse and keyboard. It's the esports way to play it, and so it just looks like Diet Pepsi when I want to drink Pepsi.
Sure. You would rather Overwatch is a good example because we have an analog for that. You would rather play Overwatch on a PC with a mouse and keyboard and the precision you're used to in terms of control and also fidelity and other reasons that PCs kind of have an advantage over playing that with a controller, which is, you know, less than awesome for a twitchy sort of game, but it works for millions of people.
One of those PC, like, look down my nose at console guys. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be rude about it, but at the same time, I just,
it's okay. You know, PC master race. I get it. I'm part of it.
It's for 8-year olds who don't have a PC can play, enjoy the game on console. Like that's that's, I'm sorry. There are good console games, but I don't like diet versions of my PC games.
Just because of it.
If there's money to be made, they're cashing in on you, and it's not the right way to play the game.
Okay.
Salacious.
I'm gonna say this though, and I don't think this is controversial. I've played a lot of Diablo in my life, from Diablo 1 all the way through current day, and I still play Diablo 3 here and there, and I'm very excited about what 4 might be. They made me a believer, though, in the control scheme. Like, I wish on the PC version of that game, I could use controller input instead of mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, this is about competitive gaming. It's not about, if you have an enjoyable experience with mouse and keyboard playing Diablo, but you enjoy it better with a console. Mm-hmm. I don't care. That's great. Make all the versions. I don't care. But when it comes to competitive gaming, I mean, like it's if a game is designed with a certain set of sporting equipment in mind, and then it doesn't translate that well to the other one, it's an inferior experience. Mm. So let's just say that my comments are within the scope of competitive gaming and not all games in general, because I think that's perfectly legit. If you want to play Diablo 3 with a controller, please do. That's great that they do that and made that.
And it works really well. Yeah. Like, it's shockingly good. And you're right. That's not a competitive environment, so you're not having to worry about competition. So I totally get that. Yeah. John, before I throw it to you, I will just say this. I agree with you 100% that it would be the lesser of the two. Certainly, potentially, it would be. Maybe Blizzard could figure out a way to make it even more fun. I don't know, but if you had Heroes on a console and Heroes on a computer, yeah, the idea of having more fidelity, more inputs, more control than a mouse and a keyboard and that general interface give you, I'm totally with you on that. But would I sit up at night in bed on my Switch and play it all night? I absolutely would. Like, I would play the hell out of it. I would own it in tandem with the PC version of this thing. And some people may say, well, then you're splitting your skill set between two different kinds of inputs, and that's not good for you if you want to try to get up the ladder or whatever. I understand that, but it seems like it would be a really, really fun thing to sit and play in a place that isn't a chair in front of my computer. John, thoughts?
I mean, I agree, but sometimes just because it'd be fun isn't enough for them to, you know, really commit to a project. To me, I think the big issues that you run into are financially. It's a big risk. It's a lot of money to put behind something that's not proven as a market in that area. And, you know, you can take something like, you know, with Tencent behind it, and you can say, okay, well, you know, they can risk it. Who cares? Right. You know, if they put this out on console, it's nothing. You know, it's no big deal. For Heroes, I think there's more investment behind that and more risk of, you know, potential with doing something like that.
Yeah.
And there's no proof that a mobile works on console. There's no proof that there's a market for it. So, well,
sure, I'm with you that we don't have any, well, since we have no proof. I mean, there are other games that are sort of mobile.
Is Battle Right on console?
Battle Right's not, but Paladins is, Smite is. There's others like that are, okay. So let's take an example like Fortnite for a second, since that's the big deal right now. When I heard that they were going to put this everywhere, and I mean like freaking everywhere, I went, it's weird. I don't know, whatever. They made like, I don't know what it was, in the first 6 or 7 days, they made like $50 million on phones for that game, just on phones. Like,
they were also the biggest game in the world, and they had the ability to take that risk.
You're right, but it's also, is it a risk? Is it a risk to double down on, well, we're in the PC world and this is where we should stay? And like that attitude, I'm not saying it's a bad attitude. I'm just saying by hunkering down and putting our noses up at other the rest of the world of devices, are we saying, well, we're just going to limit our potential? Like, I'll bet if they put a port up on mobile, they would make a ton of money in that marketplace, because that's what you do there. That it's just money. It's a license to print money for big games. Certainly, Hearthstone is that. I'm not saying they should do this. I'm not saying it might be my preferred way to play it, but I do think there's a shift happening in the industry where people can't be as picky about where they leave a thing. You make a good point about risk, but also, is it not a risk to not at least try to take advantage of all the other places people could be playing your game but aren't?
I guess, you're talking about Heroes. I mean, would this ever come up for WoW? Because, like, that's the flagship Blizzard property.
Comes up all the time.
I know we're talking about MOBAs, but, like, you know, will there ever be a day before WoW, the sun sets on WoW, where it's on a console? Or has it been on a console?
I mean, I don't know. Like, again, ESO is making a lot of money right now. And it's successful on PC, but it's also very successful, maybe more so on consoles. So I'm not saying that they've missed the boat. Maybe they have. Maybe it's too late in the cycle. I mean, the game's been around for forever. Maybe they don't need to because of the money they make on it. But we all, like, on the instance, every week there's a question about, when do you think consoles will ever get WoW on it? And if Blizzard had the will to do it, I think they could do it, and I think they make a bunch of money there. But also, subscription services aren't really big on consoles, because you're already paying a base subscription service there anyway. So games like ESO and others, where it's buy the game but play it for free, are more popular there than they would be on PCs. So, you know, there's all that stuff to work out, but I just feel like there's potential there, you know?
I think, let me also throw the other wrinkle at this, is that consoles have very strict rules about when and how a game can be updated that might cause problems for the way they like to keep Heroes updated. Now, they kind of circumvent this with Overwatch, because Overwatch doesn't get patched that frequently. They're right. Able to roll out an update at a certain point. But you don't usually see a lot of hot fixes in Overwatch, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Heroes, we've had two patches in the past. I think the one before today was on June 4th. And it's sometimes very hard to get that past console developers. They have more strict rules about what you can and can't do and when. So I think that's a potential hurdle for them. Again, if the versions don't have to communicate, that's, you know, maybe a way around it. But I just think, you know, I'm with you that I think there could be something fun to it. It wouldn't be for me, but I think it's for some people. But I think when you're a game that is past your initial, like, hey, we're here, be excited, let's play, I think it becomes a hard proposition to get people excited about a console port. Because your audience is already committed to the other. Sure. I could see a mobile version, not a literal port, but a mobile version maybe getting developed if they could get the backing to develop a separate thing.
Yeah.
But I think just a port of the game to console, I just think it would be too much for them, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what Tencent owns, you know, League of Legends now, or they're the major investor in it. This Arena Valor thing is basically that game, but in mobile form. They even, you know, half the characters are just lifted from it. But it's not the same game, and it's not the same player base, right? Different people are playing it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the same people are just playing two different games because they like them both for whatever reason. So I think that there's some potential there for Blizzard to do something on other platforms. Maybe Heroes related, maybe it's less Heroes, maybe it's more character focused. I don't know what it is, but I just want them to, I want to see them branch out more. And part of this is because I'm watching those Fortnite guys, and I'm watching, well, Tencent's behind them now too, but but watching Fortnite dominate in every platform it's released on, I know it's the biggest game in the world right now, but part of the reason that it is because they're just putting it every place they possibly can. And I like their attitude or their philosophy of, it's the same game no matter where you are. Now, we know that isn't true. If I'm playing on a phone and you're playing it on a keyboard, you're going to work me, unless you're some kind of phenom on a phone. But they've still done it anyway. They've said, well, whatever, this is how we're going to do it. So they have all these players who can play in that world, that same world on their phones, and pull off amazing games if they want, if they're really good at it. And the same people on consoles and the same people on PCs are all playing there, with the exception of Xbox not playing nicely with Sony, or really it's the other way around. But they've done that, right? And that seems like a really cool gaming philosophy for the future. Buy a thing or get a thing, and it's everywhere. Wherever you want to be, wherever you want to get your fix, it's there. I like that so much that I just wish we get more of that from Blizzard.
I think we might on future games. I just don't know if we're going to see a lot of it retroactive.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that's true. Just seemed like a good, you know, Heroes is an interesting place to have a conversation about it, because it's probably the least likely of anything they make that would ever be there. Yet people keep asking this question once in a while, like, hey, why aren't they there? How come this other thing's there? Like, what's
I
the
mean,
deal?
I would argue Heroes makes more sense on a console than World of Warcraft does. Like, I can't imagine trying to play World of Warcraft on a controller. I can imagine playing Heroes with a controller. Not as ideal as mouse and keyboard, but I can imagine.
Right. It's easier to imagine something like Elder Scrolls Online playing well on a console, because you have already played, say, Skyrim on a console. You played with a controller before. In fact, I think I even prefer controller support on even the PC version. And so you're kind of already there. I still think it plays better on a PC where you got mouse and keyboard. But the point is, like, you could see that working there pretty well. Whereas WoW would have to have a whole lot of bootstrapping to make that as functional. So I agree with you. It's weird. I don't know. Blizzard, just everything they make is so in a, like, WoW is old, and Heroes is a competitive MOBA product in the MOBA industry, which is a PC based thing for the most part. I don't know. I just don't like it when they get proved wrong by other projects. Even if we sit back and put our nose up and go, oh, well, I like the way Blizzard has my game. Like, I get that, but I don't want that story 5 years from now that says, you know, Blizzard stock is down because they didn't take advantage of this wave of whatever the new trend is that made it so China owns all of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, this is just me being xenophobic now that I think about it.
Yeah. Blizzard's responsibility to keep China in check.
Yeah, I'm terrified of China, so that's what it is. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
We need to give Blizzard all our money so they can protect us from China. That's how it works.
Yeah, I've danced around the issue long enough. Let's just call a spade a spade. I don't want China to come ruin everything.
I personally see nothing wrong with Heroes being put on a console. Like, if you know, that's true of any game. It's just, but there is, like if you take the fighter games, they're best probably on the consoles with the joysticks and stuff like that. You don't want to be playing Street Fighter competitively on a keyboard, probably. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's just, yeah, like, if there's an audience there that's willing to shell over their money. But I just think that there have been a lot of complaints about the way Heroes have been monetized that I don't think they'd feel confident about.
Oh, not especially the prices they have now on a mobile platform would be ridiculous. Consoles even, too. Like, yes, you're right about that. Like, a lot of stuff would have to change. That's why I don't think they'll do it. But maybe they got burned. Maybe they got burned too bad with, like, I don't know if you guys played the N64 version of StarCraft back in the day, but it was terrible.
No. Again, I saw it even to rent it. You remember, you used to go to the video store and you could rent games? We're like, StarCraft on N64.
That was really dumb. No. Like, super dumb.
I played the PlayStation version of Diablo.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go? That was probably all right.
No.
No? You just had the D-pad, too. There was no analog control.
Yeah, this was before the analog. This was just old PlayStation.
Yeah, that probably wasn't very good. But the way it plays...
PlayStation 2?
PlayStation,
no,
1.
PlayStation.
Yeah,
okay. So they're saying Baldur's Gate was a really good series on PS2 that was basically Diablo.
Yeah, what was that called? Baldur's Gate something.
Baldur's Gate...
I loved that. It was
PS2 Baldur's Gate.
It was like a great
Dark Alliance.
What a great series.
Yeah. That was a great series.
Yeah.
That was the stuff they made for consoles, though. And that stuff was, that. And they did EverQuest 1 as well.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was the same developer, I think. They did the license for that. And it was also really good. Yeah. Those were really cool games. Now, the nice thing about our modern day, like the Diablo iteration, is it's still just Diablo, like straight up 100% Diablo. They didn't have to make any weird concessions. They've just figured out a way to get the interface right. And it's really good as that kind of game. I wish it had an option on the PC. I'd play it like that. It's really good. Like, controller feels great in that game.
It was called Champions of Norrath.
Yeah, Champions of Norrath. Oh my gosh, you guys, I love those games.
Yeah, those are really good examples of Diablo-style games on console.
Yeah.
That were made for console that were just fun.
I don't remember if it was the same people, but there was also the Marvel and X-Men games in that same vein.
Right.
Oh, those were good, but I don't think it's the same.
Super good. Different developer, but it was Marvel, not Ultimate Alliance.
Actually, I think it was Ultimate Alliance.
Was it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and then they did the sequel, which was the Civil War tie-in, and that was bad.
It was not good, yeah. The Avengers, there's a new upcoming Avengers game that might be Ultimate Alliance reboot. That's kind of exciting.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that sounds good. This is an E3 rumor, so we'll see. But the
They did shut down the Diablo game, right? The Marvel one?
The PC one, and then that thing hit consoles, and then like 2 weeks later they canceled it. It might be because this thing's coming. And this could be a much bigger deal for them, because that other thing was just straight, like, kind of a Diablo, not ripoff. It was still fun. I liked it, but
it was a good game, but it got too bloated. There were like 18 million currencies, and you walked in and your inventory just erupted.
Yeah, I don't think I liked that part of it either. But it had,
man, I loved having all those characters.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, if you were a Marvel fan, that game was kind of a dream. But anyway, back to bring it back around to Heroes. We'll see. I like the idea of multiple Blizzard IPs being used in fun ways, and Heroes is our way of choice right now, and to have them iterate on that in some other way in some other place just seems interesting to me. So there you go, all those people that keep asking me. Now you've had us discuss it. We never have to bring it up again. Let's talk about Echoes of Alterac.
Wants you to as well.
Echoes of Alterac. That is Alterac Valley, not Alarak the jerk. This was the big announcement. A new battleground, some skins, there's an event, hero, and more. We should probably start with the hero. On June 12th, which is what? A week?
Next Tuesday, I'd be willing to bet. Yep, next Tuesday.
So wait a minute, is she on PTR right now?
She's on PTR right now. Fine, sexy self. Okay, on the PTR.
That seems crazy. So it's Urel. Who wants to talk about her? Why do you love her? John, you love the ladies in World of Warcraft. Why is she great? Isn't it Urel? Isn't that how you say it?
It's Yiddle.
No, it is Urel.
It's Yiddle.
Jeez, it's going to be weak.
That's how it's pronounced in the actual game.
Yiddle.
I realize
who is Yrel?
She's one of those goat people with the accent. I get it, but I think she's. I think John is correct. So, John, why is she great, and why do you want her so bad? Why do you pine for her?
Well, for one, she's a warrior, which already puts her in my business.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that. You know, Draenei are the cool alliance race. They have two cool races, and Draenei are one of them. So, you know, if you're going to get an alliance character, it's good to get one that's awesome. I don't know. She's a good... A lot of people were like, when are they going to put a Draenei in the game? And Urel was always the one that I wanted to see. And so I'm pretty stoked to see her. She's very happy.
Well, what was the dude that she hung around with before he bit it? What was his name?
Murad.
Yeah. Yep. He was the one I was hoping for, because we get a lot of dead people in the Nexus that have died. Varian came after he died and all those guys. Why not that dude? I'm fine with her, I guess, but I like him. Because
there's nothing about Murad. What you know about Murad is he was in the Burning Crusade cutscene. That's 100% of his lore.
Well, and then there was stuff in Warlords where he ran around and did things.
He went through a portal.
Yeah.
He did the hammer thing in the cutscene. He went through a portal and then he died.
Murad's all right, but Yiddle is central to a storyline. I think she has more involvement in a story than Murad ever did.
Did you have to play Alliance to get more of her business? Because I just don't remember that much.
Yeah, she's your like window into Warlords of Draenor. You see her all the time. She's your Durotan, basically, equivalent for Alliance.
Oh,
so
that's why
she's really important in a way that Murad isn't. And I'm just happy. The only more important Draenei character, arguably, is of a good nature, is Velen. And I'm happy one day to have Velen in, but I'm not excited for Velen. I just don't think he's very cool. But Yiddle is cool. She's got a big hammer. She got a can-do attitude. She is too happy. Like, this picture of her smiling, like, is not her character. It's more that, like, a lot of bad stuff happened to her, but she has resolve. You know, she's a paladin, and they're known for their resolve and devotion to their religious lightness.
Sure.
Whatever that light religion. It's a very vacuous for a religion, by the way, the light. It's just
a little bit.
Light.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, you know, she's has a devoutness about her and a dedication, a pureness of spirit. She's a cool character. And she's wielding that big crystal two-handed battle hammer. It's great.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I mean, of the things that we took away from Warlords, probably a high point for a lot of people. So
also, like, yeah, besides,
we left her behind, which that was the bummer of the lore for that, is they introduce. So you bring Murad from Azeroth Prime over to alternate Draenor.
Yeah.
You've brought Murad over. We've added one Murad. Then he dies, so we're now down a Murad. We gain a Urel in his place. This is character math. And then we go back and we leave her behind. And it's like, well, that equation was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's her world. She doesn't want to come to the
ultimate. But come on. We all know that world doesn't matter that much.
What, Draenor?
Well, to us, like, big shots in Azeroth Prime. But that's their world over there that we helped out.
This is true. There's a lot of, how do I put this? I know this is naive to say and not know any better, but there's a lot of interesting art of Urel on the internet. I'm just looking around some good shots for the show here and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That one there is shipping.
I feel like, of all the World of Warcraft races, Draenei are the most objectified. Draenei women in particular the most objectified sexually, probably.
Why do you think that is? Just because they're goat people?
They've got a their art is like their figure in game and Warcraft is pretty, is fairly attractive, I think.
Yeah, like just, if you like, know, reverse
got
legs,
got a Coke and bottle waistline, mm-hmm, but a big, you know, Nicki Minaj rump and ample breasted. Like, I'm objectifying for sure, but like, you want an explanation? Is like,
no, I'm learning things.
I mean,
about
I play a female dwarf, but I'm not like, ooh, baby. When I look at my dwarf lady, I'm just like, you know, she's cute and she's like awesome, but you know, I'm not going bazinga every time I see her. Whatever bazinga.
Whatever that means in a modern day.
Yeah, they're the most, like, space goats are the most. They're the sexiest of all the women in World of Warcraft.
Jeez,
they're
really?
They're like the Asari from Mass Effect. They're the alien looking thing that, you know, William Shatner would bone.
That's a good way to put it. Also, I disagree though that they're the sexy race. I think Night Elves, Blood Elves, and all the new little split off elves are the ones you're.
Elves. Elves are basically like pretty people.
Right.
You're basically what you just said was supermodels are attractive.
That's a good point. I did say
and
that.
And we're like
meat on your bones. You go with the Draenei.
Right.
Like, if you like supermodel style, maybe, yeah, Blood Elf.
Well, chat room, I'm about to show the chat room an image I found. I promise it's nothing terrible, but it's for some reason Urel eating what appears to be a very small naked man. And
what is this?
I don't know why this exists or what's happening, but that's a thing. I put
isn't
it
in, giant women a sexual fetish?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know why. I don't know.
None
of these
things.
I feel
like I've heard that somewhere or something.
Oh, well, you guys should have been listening to TMS lately. We had this whole tirade on people licking each other's armpits. And I wanted to die. Yeah, no. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's the thing. Not judging. Do what you got to do. I'm just saying. Not for me. That's all. And neither is Urel.
What you gotta do? Who in their day-to-day life is like, you know, it's time. Well, it's time to run into a giantess and get eaten.
Again, you don't want to face check that bush. You want to throw something in there before you.
Right, but Bo's food could be in there if you're in Anaheim.
My food?
Yeah, because you always keep your bush burger. Yeah. Still one of my favorite things ever.
I mean, I just realized I have a weird double standard because you showed that and I was like, that's not even realistic. Where are you going to run into someone that big? And then I realized that we're talking about space goat attractive people. And that's also probably not going to be something you run into.
No, blue skins, reverse legs, all that stuff's wrong. They're goats.
That apparently I think could happen. But as soon as they get very tall, I'm like, well, that's unreasonable.
Then, yeah, then you're you draw the line where it should be drawn. Anyway, she's coming. She is a tank, like you said. Lots of weird crowd control stuff. Let's talk about her kit a little bit. From what we know, she has all three of her main abilities, Q through or Q, W, and E, all have this weird charge to them. Does anyone who wants to explain how that works? Because I've seen the video and I kind of know what it looks like. It works, but let's get a real description here. Bo, do you want to describe this?
You click the button once and a little circle appears under. And the longer you let it charge, the more of the effect you get. Up until the point you're at maximum where you get maximum effect. I mean, that's pretty much it. All three of her abilities have this feature. And her trait allows you to proc one of these instantly at maximum effect. So Q is, I believe, the hammer swing. So the longer you let Q charge up, the farther back you'll hit and the more damage you'll do. And I think on the max charge, you'll do a little stun as well.
Mm-hmm.
On her jump, I think it's Avenging Wrath, she jumps farther the longer it waits. And which one's the W? I think the W is the swing and the Q is like the area. There's an area of effect damage that does more healing to allies, damage to enemies, the longer you let it charge up.
Right.
That's functionally what it is. She's like very thematically unified in that sense that all of her abilities do that. And what's interesting is, I believe this is correct, her ultimates do not charge, but they're generally usable during the charge up of certain abilities.
They made a point of that in the audio that was the case.
Pretty interesting. Yeah. So yeah, she looks great.
Lots of sustain. She's weak to high mobility. So hey, Genji, what's up? But she looks really cool. Like, more paladin to me than, well, I mean, part of this is Legion's fault because I played a lot of Legion and you see a lot of these space goats with their gold armor and their light devotion, but she seems more follower of the light than even Uther does to me. Like, Uther seems like some old man who's lost his way. She looks like, I am here to freaking be the Pope, basically. She's the Pope of the light.
Uther is a divine champion, sir. How dare you besmirch him?
He's fine. He wants me to go to the store. I understand.
He's got some very flashy abilities, or she has some very flashy abilities, though.
Yeah,
she's a very slow, deliberate feeling hero.
What do you feel? How do you feel about her W, where she knocks people out of the way? I feel like she's going to just annoy everybody. She's going to be like,
it's like having Haymaker as an ability, kind of.
A little bit. Or it's like having D.Va in the fight, maybe. That pushing people around thing. It's on a cooldown, so it's not quite the same, but it's interesting.
I think I heard all the cooldowns were 6 seconds, so it's 666.
Oh,
yeah, whoa. That's accurate.
She's supposed to be, if she doesn't follow the light, she follows Diablo, the primeval. 666, see?
She's secretly a goat person.
There's a lot of room left in apparently in Azeroth lore for her to live long enough to become the villain.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can see that
happen maybe one day.
Now, her crazy leap thing she does with E is an escape, it's an engage, it's a, I don't know what to compare it to. It seems pretty rad, though.
These are all actual abilities in Warcraft. I don't play Paladin, so I don't know, but they look familiar.
Sometimes
around, and they've got these wings on their back, and you're like, what is that Paladin doing? I don't know. Looks cool.
Is that why she's got that, she has that bubble talent that lets her go back to the thing without being able to touch her, which is definitely a reference to Paladin, but I don't know much else about Paladins either. I never played.
Yeah, that's an old school Paladin reference. Mm-hmm. Back in the day of PvP servers against the Paladin, where you would, as a rogue, be like, I'm going to get this guy. You'd hit him once and then just instantly a bubble, and then they'd just be in there, disappear to their town.
How do you guys? So
talent's at level 20, so I feel like it's kind of a joke talent.
One of her ultimates or heroics is basically a big it's called Purify Ground or Purify something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it creates a big circle around her that she's at the center of, and then she can then run around in that will stay until she leaves the circle. That gives her crazy amounts of armor.
Yeah, it's 40 armor,
which is cool and it's crazy sustain, but it has no effect on your teammates. So you could all be in that circle. It doesn't matter. They're the same as if they weren't in it. And that kind of bums me out a little bit. Oh, is there a talent that changes that? I didn't see it.
I'm just looking now. No, I don't think so, actually.
Okay.
So I think Hallowed Ground of 20. Casting of Ranging Wrath while inside Sacred Ground moves Sacred Ground to Urel's location upon landing.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can just move it around. Cool. Yeah.
She seems super versatile. This seems like a character I'm going to see John play like a lot.
It's definitely possible. Her damage feels a little low, but her sustain is very, very strong. And her ability to control an area and control the fight is very, very good as well.
Yeah, and that absorbing she does where everyone else gets healed and she gets healed for a percentage of damage done. I mean, it's massive. We're looking at the video right now and I just watched her go from, I don't know, 10% life to almost full in that process.
Yeah.
Against multiple players, like, it's crazy.
And I don't know if this is reflective of the time they're taking to develop heroes now, but I think she just, her like animations and graphics look really awesome.
Yeah, they look really
good. They look a little step up-ish from everything else too. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. Well, especially for warriors aren't usually this flashy. Let's say it that way, I guess. I always feel like they're just a little bit like bing, bing, bang, boom. And they maybe have some flashy thing once in a while when they get 10, but they generally aren't that flashy. She's super cool looking. And she's, you know, her skin that comes with this thing is, what's her name? Harley Quinn, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a little DC love in there. Anyway, she looks awesome. And she's on the PTR now. So you can go try her out, give her a shot, and she'll be out next week. Looks like a must.
Oh, wait, she had something really cool. Oh, she has, there's one talent I got to mention. She can mount instantly.
Oh, at really?
Seven, she mounts instantly and actually gets 80% movement speed as soon as she mounts that decays. It's the coolest thing ever.
She can kiss my butt. That's amazing.
Yeah, she can just mount up and she's like, pew!
That's your reaction when someone gets something cool. That's where you go.
Yeah, you can kiss
my butt.
I feel
like you saw a picture of that and that's why you're saying it.
No, that's really cool.
I mean, I'm a fan of the talent where she grows very large and puts people in her mouth.
Kiss my butt.
True to character.
What else? So there's that. We'll get to, I don't even know where to start here because we have to talk about that Ariel skin. I'm like, I'm dying to talk about skins because the skins are amazing. However, let's talk about the battleground. So I feel like all of us at one point or another said and then agreed that whatever they were going to do next was either going to be around Warcraft or based on Warcraft or some sort of something themed in the Warcraft world. We haven't had a map that is yet. And one of the things Bo said was, nah, I don't think so, because the Crow King or whatever his name is, what's his name? The Raven Lord. The Crow King. The Raven Lord, you know, it's going to be all about that, and it's going to be him doing stuff. And it turns out in this video, it still kind of is. He's going, oh, what's this place? And his crow form flies over, or raven form flies over Azeroth, and the music starts, and you're like, oh, cool. And, anyway, it's a WoW map, like straight up Alterac Pass.
Yeah, part of Alterac, I gotta eat Valley. My hat or my crow.
You gotta eat your newspaper from last week that was
gotta,
on your head.
I gotta eat crow. Yeah, because I said they wouldn't make a Warcraft map. I was like, no way. And here it is, totally yes way.
Yeah, big time. Available the week of June 19th. So
the map looks amazing. I think this is the best looking. I've tried it out. You can do custom games on the PTR. It feels like an Azeroth place.
How do you feel about maps that are snowy? Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I like snow maps. I like anything with particulate in. So rain, like rain or snow or anything that has like a thing that's like obfuscating vision. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Obstructing vision.
Yeah.
Is cool with me. I love that there's these little flakes of white everywhere as you play. It gives you a real sense of like, oh, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it feels cold, and it makes me feel depressed. Because I have winters here, and I get, well, so do you, but I don't like...
Yeah, oh, boo-hoo, you saw winter, so cold.
That was apparently directed at me, who...
Yeah, John's having a heat wave right now, so...
Yeah, it's a brisk 108 degrees outside.
Yeah, go breathe that in.
How do you feel about desert maps? Do you hate them?
I love a desert. I do, as a matter of fact, like, I do.
You skip Prince of Persia, you're like, whatever, this is my life. I don't need to play this game.
Yeah.
Every time, I think desert maps can look cool, but then I get sick of them very quickly. Like Old Republic, I got to Tatooine, and I was like, yeah, look at this. It's like Tatooine. Oh, crap.
Well, you're either a Hoth man or a Tatooine man. I'm a Tatooine man. I think John's more of a Hoth guy.
I'm a Hoth guy.
Yeah.
This map really showed me that I have a big snow bias, because as soon as I looked at the snow, I was just like, this is the best map that ever existed. This is the best one. 100%. I hadn't even played it yet, but I just really liked how it looked. Yeah. And that time that they added snow to the Ravenlord map,
yeah,
and it wasn't even a lot of snow. It was just a little snow.
Yeah.
It was like, we're going into March snow.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is the best map right now.
Yeah.
They found the best map. Why can't it be like this all the time?
By the way, I really like this idea that the way mercs work now is you're letting someone out that helps you. It isn't you killing. This is such a small thing, but I like. You're not just killing a creature and now it has to bend to your will. You're loosing a pal of yours, someone you want that needs to get out of the cage, and then he's out. Like, I don't know. It's a very got a quest quality to it. I love it.
Yeah, that's the main map objective, is you rescue your champions from the opposing side. But there are still kill camps. There's actually, crap, what are they called? Gnolls.
Yeah.
There's little mini hoggers. Like, they have the hogger model now in the game.
Great.
As gnolls on this map.
It's perfect.
I don't know if he's. Yeah, so we're getting a hogger hero for sure. Because
we played Horde, Bo. We don't care.
Everybody's a gnoll, basically. We're some form
everyone
of gnoll.
Everyone's killed Hogger before, whether you've gone in on your level one gnomes and gone to raid Hogger.
That's
right?
True. Hogger is, if you haven't raided Hogger, then what are you even doing in World of Warcraft? Yeah. That's true. I just want to say, from an artistic standpoint, I think the ice melt stuff in the middle is really a nice touch. Mm-hmm. It's just overall really, really nice adherence to sort of the Warcraft look and feel. And I don't know that we could ask for anything cooler. Go ahead.
We're watching the video, but there's also the sound from Warcraft, that or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The horn sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's distinctly from a decade of playing Battlegrounds and Warcraft. Like, that sound is in this.
Yeah.
It triggers so many emotions every time that sound is played, and I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Alterac Valley and WoW, I remember being like, I gotta go eat food. I'm gonna just leave it here and I'll be back. And you know, it was just, it would be hours and hours and hours in that one battleground just waiting to win. And yeah, through the entire thing, you would just hear, and you're just like, okay, we're still going.
Yeah,
we're still trying this thing. And as soon as I heard, yeah, that's the other one. Doesn't it play that when you engage the general? And it would get so annoying because one person would run in, because you'd know they'd be at the gate, and one person would run in like, oh, just start it, guys. And he'd get killed instantly because nobody else followed him.
Yep.
And then someone else would go, oh, we're going? And then they would go in, and so you just hear,
Yeah, that sound would happen all the time. Plus, the war still rages on whether, you know, one side has an advantage over the other, because it was this non-symmetrical map design in that original thing. I noticed here they've gone completely symmetrical, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
AV, man, that's a memory we all should have and share. And the fact that they're bringing it here with such, I don't know, looks like such care and devotion, it's super exciting.
The cores are also not cores anymore.
Uh-uh.
We thought we were clever naming our short core, and now there's a map without a core.
Yeah.
Now it's a man.
It's a man. Yeah. Well, he's kind of a core. He's a core man.
Okay.
Right? I think they're going to have
a cigarette commercial.
Yeah. We don't have to worry yet. They got a lot of cores still in the game that they're going to keep forever. So
it's just, if all the battlegrounds turn into bosses you have to kill that regenerate health, it's going to be what's a core? What? You know, we'll have to change the name of our show to Man.
Welcome Man. To Man.
Here's the story. He's Man.
Go to man.com. Actually, don't go to man.com. I don't know what's
that. Man.com might be all right.
I hope it's
just a picture of an incredibly generic guy in a black t-shirt.
I'm going to try it in an incognito window just to see.
Man Group, it's a technology-empowered active investment management focused on delivering performance and client portfolio solutions.
Oh, yeah. An overview of Man Group.
Don't worry here, folks. We're fine.
Yeah,
just a sexist organization.
Bo is not afraid. He went right to it and said, I'm going in. See you guys later. Now, if I do woman.com, let's see what we get.
Someone's owned, they're squatting, they're selling that domain.
Somebody's squatting on woman.com. It's the last I'll say
Don't look that up.
No, don't look that one up at all.
Squatting on women.com?
Yeah, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. Can we talk
Welcome to my website. I'm going to show you something.
It's a really bad idea. We should talk about these skins before I lose my mind.
Yeah.
It's amazing. For the Alliance, you have Spirit Healer Ariel.
Neutral, technically.
Yeah, but she's the death chicky that you can go to in World of Warcraft when you die and go, yeah, just heal me, just resurrect me here. It's also the thing the priest does. I don't even know what it's called. What's that called with the priest?
The Holy Priest has a way to stay alive after death.
Right.
Yeah, like...
it doesn't help you at all.
The after-death spirit.
Yes. The
rejuvenation, the Holy Spirit.
Whatever it is. But she's... When I saw her in the video, I went, oh, they have one of those in there. It wasn't even clicking with me that was Ariel.
No, it's an awesome skin.
I love it. That makes me want to play her, and I don't like her, as we know. As we know. All right, then you got you got Vandar Muradin, which is super cool.
I like that Muradin's skins are basically the name of another dwarf and then Muradin.
Yeah, yeah, because there's Magni Muradin.
Uh-huh.
There's Lollipop or whatever it is, Muradin. That's not really another dwarf. Anyway, got Grand Marshal Varian. That's 100% badass. And then you got Night Slayer Valyra, which
also a blood elf.
Yeah, and super cool.
Oh, isn't that supposed to be an SI7 outfit though?
That's the Molten Core tier set.
Oh, is it?
I think it's tier 2.
Psh. I should know that. I didn't know that. Now we go to the skins I really care about.
Well, I'm pointing out that one of these skins is technically neutral and the other one literally looks like how my rogue did during that's not true because Blood Elves weren't in during Molten Core. So I'm lying to you all. Right.
Blood Elves were not there yet.
Blood Elves are a Horde race.
They were just an saying, idea. No, I understand. I completely
just showing some Horde pride, that's all.
Now the skins you really want. Uh-huh. Sapper Junkrat is the skin I want the most ever in the history of all time.
It's so good.
Like, he's got fake arms that he's controlling with his... see how his green arms are holding these remotes?
He's a goblin inside of a Junkrat mech, basically.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
It's so good, you guys. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Whoever did that, we need to interview them. I'd love it so much.
And he's got like a mohawk and like Wolverine sideburns. Like, this guy is perfection itself.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love him. Then there's... Drekthar Rhaegar, which is again another, what's that, the guy that died at the pass? Oh, sorry, spoiler. Yeah, the Legion guy.
He was doing the lightning thing.
He was one of the Seers, or are they called Seers? Whatever it is. Seer, whatever.
Well, those two guys, the Vanadir and the Drekthar, are also the core guys.
Right.
For the map.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good point. Well, that won't
be confusing. I don't know if you'll get confused thinking you're hitting the core when you're hitting Drekthar Rhaegar and not Rhaegar itself. But
he looks so tiny. I'll hit that one.
Yeah, that one's really awesome. High Warlord Garrosh is pretty badass, although it looks, I don't know.
He doesn't have his shoulder things in this one.
Yeah, that weirds me out. These,
you know, it's very different, but yeah. I still think it looks cool.
It looks pretty good. His axe is insane. And then you got Warsong Johanna, which I know John's excited about. She's an orc lady in here. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we don't have a badass orc hero. We have Sergeant Hammer, the orc version, but it's not that great.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie, like this is amazing.
No, they're incredible. Every skin in here I want.
Yeah, me too. Actually, even the Alliance ones.
Yeah, I'm not feeling any. I don't even feel like that Valyra one. If you don't end up with that, John, I'll eat my hat. Of course, no, you're gonna have that.
It will be mine.
Yeah, look at that thing.
But you spend all your money on Nexomania. Where are you gonna get the money for this stuff?
I have 7,000 shards.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's like what, two skins out of it.
That's a solid two that I can get.
Yeah.
And then spend $40 on the remaining ones those have been purchased.
There's some mounts as well. Some awesome mounts.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about mounts.
Scroll to the bottom, and there's the...
Well,
the
can ram. We address the portraits and sprays before we go too far as we scroll down?
Yeah, you got some, by the way, animated Carbot stuff.
They have Uther doing his little butt-waving heel. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's real good. This makes me happy because this means Carbot's continually doing new content. for this, and that's exciting. There's also some, you know, the stuff you'd expect from them regularly. There's a very happy Urel, and then there's a very serious, we got to stop this terrible thing from happening Urel. But some cool Warcraft art in general here. This is real good. Yeah, everything about this I like. This is all very good. And those animated sprays are amazing. Yeah,
it's the Gray Man. Have you seen the Gray Man Carbot?
Let's see.
Looks like a crazy old man.
Yeah, the Gray Man Carbot is really good.
Where is he?
Hold on. Never seen it. He just looks paranoid. He looks haunted.
Oh, yeah. This one right here. That one's really good. Yeah. I love that. I kind of want that on my car or something. Not just because it's Carbot. Hey, look at the mounts. Here we go. You got Swift Storm Spike Ram and the Raging War Wolf. He has a beard.
That's what Ram. I'm really excited for the Ram.
Yeah, she'll ride that, right? You got, so those are the only mounts that I know of. And then you have the pass. So you pick a side. It's kind of like you did for the wrestling deal. It feels like that shouldn't be over yet. Is that over now?
No.
It's over next week.
Next week, I think.
Okay. It feels like it just started, but that's just the way time seems to me now. Anyway, you pick a side in for the Alterac Pass. Then you earn special rewards depending on your selection. Choose carefully. Once you pick a side, the other quest line will become inaccessible. Don't worry, all quest rewards become available in basic loot chests next summer. So if you didn't get them this time, you can get them next year. Step one, you play four games as Warcraft Hero. I get you a Warcraft Reinforcements chest. You step two, take achievements, do 50 takedowns in winning games. That's the same as this last event we're doing right now. And then six games with friends, you get the banner. Step four, win eight games as a Warcraft Hero. You get the mount. And you get 50% bonus XP if you play with friends during the event.
That Ram looks like it has seen some hard times.
Yeah.
He looks like that Ram is not going to forget what he saw.
He really does. He's got that look at that dog meme that's staring at the plate of cookies or cupcakes or whatever. And he's got that look on his face.
It's like, I know I shouldn't, but I have to.
Yeah, that's totally it. These look great. Oh my gosh, you guys. I can't believe I'm this excited about an event. It's because it speaks to the, you know, this is Blizzard 101 right here that we're doing. So it's kind of hard to avoid feeling a little giddy. But anyway, a great package overall. Any other thoughts on what's happening with this that we haven't covered?
No, I'm all about it. Most of the stuff starts next week. I think the only stuff that's taking longer is the battleground itself and the skins.
Right.
It's the week after.
19th for the skins and the battleground, I believe.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good to see something that's wall-to-wall excellence. There's nothing bad about anything. I have a complaint or a picky about anything. This thing is perfect. And the way they revealed it was really
well. We haven't seen all the tints and stuff, so, but I assume they're all normal.
Yeah, there's been a few sites who have shown kind of roughly what those look like. They're basically what you would expect, it seems. I have to be looking, but if there was one thing I didn't like out of this whole package, it's that harpy portrait.
Oh, not a fan of the harpy?
It just weirds me out that they use feathers for, like, bras.
When you look at a harpy portrait, do you hear the sound?
Yeah, there's that, too.
I freaking hate the harpies.
I heard so much of that in Legion. There were a lot of harpies.
In Vanilla, I heard a billion of them out in Durotan. It was like every 4 foot there was a... I said that like a Canadian, every 4 foot. Didn't
every 4 feet. We say we have a plural for foot here.
But you say like grade 8 instead of 8th grade, or you'll say like...
We are on the metric system, so we might say 4 meters instead of...
Oh, right. Every meter or so, I'd run into a harpy.
And we use feet all the time, too, actually. It's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, like when you want to go...
Because a lot of our manufacturing stuff comes from the States, and you guys measure everything in... What is it? Imperial?
Imperial.
So yeah, we end up using the Imperial system quite a bit up here.
That's one Darth Vader and a half a Boba Fett.
Right. I measure almost everything in centimeters and meters and millimeters now. Let's not get excited about what I'm talking about, but just art.
I was going to say, I haven't had to measure anything in a while. So,
like, I'm making these playing cards, right? And I have to measure them out, and I'm to get them exactly where I want them. I go millimeter because inches suck for that stuff. Anyway, Nonetheless, and notwithstanding, let's move on. The patch stuff. We had to patch. Blizzard put out a patch today. Changed a lot of things. One of the bigger things is the almost complete removal of baseline armor for heroes. Anub'arak, Arthas, Johanna. Why? Why did they do it? Let's pontificate. John, why they did say why. Okay. Why did they say they did it?
Because it's an invisible mechanic, basically.
Oh.
Like, you either did the research and you know it, or you don't. It's not, it won't display on the screen. Like, temporary armor buffs and debuffs will show on the character panel up above the health bar when you affect people, but this doesn't. So for the listeners, I'm making a thing with my finger showing.
That's Bose measurement.
Measuring armor is basically like
it shows you a little thing above the nameplate when there's you know, an armor debuff or an armor buff.
Right.
But baseline, it doesn't show it. So it's like either you took the time to know it or you don't know it, and what the hell's the point? So they get rid of it.
Well, if they're getting rid of baseline armor, does that hurt them, though? Like, are these heroes more vulnerable?
Well, yeah, so it's being taken off of for now. I went through and looked, and it was Anub'arak, Arthas, and Johanna that had a bit of baked-in armor.
Yeah.
Cassia is getting an armor change as well.
Okay. Getting an armor change, but that feels like more of a nerf directed at her. She got 75% armor reduction while moving.
Whoa.
From physical armor, from auto attacks. Like, I think she's still secret OP right now. I think she's super strong. But that's a huge amount of attack damage. 75% is nuts.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, but yeah, it's along the lines of all the armor changes, but that's not her baseline armor. At least that's right. Her trait and is look upable.
I guess I'm asking.
Think this is actually a bit of a buff to certain heroes as well. Like, I actually think this might end up being a buff to characters like Leoric that are capable of dealing percentage based damage, because the way they have balanced this is they've given bigger health pools to these characters.
Oh, so I see.
I think you might see a rise of Tychus and Leoric and some of these characters that can do good percentage based damage, because the way they're mitigating the removal of armor in most cases seems to be give them more health and more health regen.
Yeah.
And we all know the solution to bigger health pools. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what this does, but I think it's a good change. I do agree it was a invisible system.
Right. I just didn't want all those guys to get all squishy and not be as fun anymore as they are normally. Sounds like they won't and be.
Your Stukov's getting a little bit of a healing buff.
Oh, that's good.
Kill switch trait and healing pathogen.
That's good.
That's also another takeaway here.
Because they dinged him before, so thank you for thinking about
us. You know, they didn't revert to changes, but they did increase the amount of his healing, so you might find it just enough for him.
Right.
The other thing that they changed here too significantly was Zagara.
Mm-hmm.
So Zagara was notoriously a character that I think that had less scaling per level. Like, it was 3% over 4% for a lot of her stuff because she had such early game power, which they basically reverted. So she's like every other hero now, which because she does fall off in power late game, and which they said in the developer comments. So you might start seeing more Zagaras in your games, and they might be suddenly stronger for some reason, and it's because their scaling is now on par with all the other heroes.
They
also,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say Diablo got some love. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, we were gonna say the same thing because I am excited about that. As somebody who went from his rework and was like, "Oh, this guy's great," and then saw that he had the worst win rate of any hero in the game, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be so good." Yeah. That, like, I know some people get very sad about it, but nothing makes me happier than being all in on a character that's awful.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to get buffed,
and
you're going to be ready to be in prime time when it happens and just be like, well, now let's do this.
Yeah.
So Diablo got buffed, and I could not be more excited because I already thought he was a powerhouse.
His Fire Stomp healing increased, his health increased overall by 100 or so health. Health regen increased. Basic attack speed increased. Yeah, he straight up got buffed, man. That's his job now. I'm Diablo. I'm buffed. That's what he'd say if he was here.
Yeah, I'm the captain now.
Let's see. Any other significant deals in there you guys want to mention?
Nothing big. There's some changes to Maiev. Some of her cooldowns were increased. Again, she's a character I don't get. So when they make changes to her, I don't get how they impact her. Right. So I'm like, there's some changes. I really need at some point to just spend some time with my Ev.
The fact you say that, though, the fact that you, Bo Schwartz, the player that I know you to be, the fact that you say you still don't really get her, and when they apply changes to her, you don't get it, I think that says a lot about how nebulous she is. Because of a player like you saying that, what's some noob bar saying when he gets in there?
But I haven't played her too much. That's the thing. So it's like, I imagine some people know. But yeah, some new what do you call them? A noob bar?
Yeah, I don't know why. A noob
welcome
bar.
New players. We're totally not hostile towards yeah. Some noob bar.
I'm mainly speaking of people like me, because I would not know my way around a room with her. Like, I think she's really confusing.
Just, but I guess when I say I don't know her, it's like just, there's a loop or a way to like kill people or play them that's obvious. And with her, while I feel like I get it, I just never play her. So I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Increase cooldowns, whatever.
Yeah. I loved playing my Ev with Bo because he and I were taking turns playing her. And I was just like, I just feel like I don't get this character, Bo. And he's like, I don't either. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And we were playing. And then at some point I yanked people back and we got a lot of kills. And I was like, that seemed good. And he's like, congratulations, you're a my Ev player. And I said, what did I do? He's all, I don't know, but it seems to be working. And that's kind of how I feel playing her.
Yeah. You yank people, and then the rest of your people are happy about it.
That's
playing
just like in life, man.
Just like in life. Get yanked. Yeah. Everyone likes it. Someone in the chat room, Bagheera says only Ralph Macchio likes her. I don't get it. What does that mean? Only Ralph Macchio, who played the Karate Kid, why would he only like her?
Because he likes yanking.
I don't know what that means.
Was he in the Yankee Kid too?
Oh, shower curtain. Oh, duh.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Man,
nice
he was
back.
Going for your own joke, Scott, and you still didn't.
That's embarrassing. Bagheera, I owe you one there, buddy. He says it in all caps. It's your joke, Scott. I'm leaving this chat room.
I can't watch your show anymore. You didn't get your own joke that I said.
So, speaking of our charity brawl, one of the things that we know about past charity brawls, in fact, a year ago this last week, we did one where we introduced a game type for just poops and giggles called Battle for the Bullion, and it ended up making its way into Heroes of the Storm. They liked it. They heard about it. They put it in. It was a super cool thing to find out. And I had hoped that maybe something we did the other night might find its way there. As it turns out, I thought everything we did was really fun and nothing was a dud. So I don't even know where I'd start with this, but let's go around and talk about what games stood out as potential brawl candidates. If Blizzard's going to look at our charity day and go, I really like number 3 or whatever. John, what would you put in if you were them?
Dummy ball. I feel like that's a mode that we made work as best as we could, but yeah. I feel like if they came in and really made it a thing, dummy ball could be incredible.
Yeah. Also, make it all Stukov's. Then it's really good. Stukov's really OP on that mode because, and for those who didn't watch, John was able to set up a game mode based on how you guys constructed it so that through his settings, he gave everybody just like tons of life so you're not going to die. What else? There was something else.
Yeah, you couldn't deal damage to other people. You couldn't be damaged.
Right.
You could see the entire map.
Mm-hmm. And then you could spawn a dummy, which is what you would do. You'd spawn a training dummy, and it would just plop down in the middle or wherever he decided to put it, and then we would basically play air hockey with this thing. And as it turns out, you can push them away. Using your abilities that have push or knockback or whatever, they would affect the dummy's position. And the goal was to pick characters that had these abilities, whoever they were. So Lucio's good because he can do his whatever that thing's called. I forget.
Sound wave.
His little.
I think it's shockwave or soundwave. What's it called?
Soundwave. Wait a minute. Anyway, whatever it is. And then Stukov's great because we start at level 10 or beyond, and he's got shove, massive shove, and that thing is just a cheat machine if you're good at aiming it, and you time it right, because a lot of times you'll catch another player and push them instead. But if you can push it, you'll shove that thing all the way to the goalposts, which in this case are the gates of each other's team. Then you had people like Garrosh who could throw the thing over the gate and get a point for the team. Like, just think of all the movement kind of heroes that can move things around. You get the right idea.
I think Kyle even found like ways to make defensive character choices that were incredible. Like playing Tassadar, where you have a constant force wall you can throw up, or playing Chromie, where he could just suddenly lock the dummy. You know, there was one time where you had a clear push all the way to the gate. It would have been a point, and you hit one of those little time traps and it just locked your push at the end of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it saved the day. So I just feel like it ended up being way deeper than I thought it would be, and mm-hmm. working way better. And we had no idea that we had a rule on there, first to three or 10 minutes. And the reason that rule existed is because we did not test this. We basically checked to see if moving the dummy would work. As soon as we got that far, we were like, great, it's done. We figured it out. Yeah. And we had no idea how it was going to happen. So
it was awesome. I'm with you 100% on that one. Bo, was there any other standouts that you saw from that event?
I mean, I enjoyed Dummy Ball. Yeah. I thought it was all fun. I had a good time with all of it. I can't
think of one I didn't like. I mean, honestly, the only that we
part of the problem for me with this is just that, like, I like that we're playing the game in ways that it was unintended, but mm-hmm. when it's a brawl, it becomes intended, and so immediately less appealing.
Right. You know, that's what's funny.
That's just my personality, and it's not, you know, it's just, you know.
Oh, your avocado toast is showing.
But no, this is a really good point. We're not giant fans of brawls here. Once in a while one will be fun or whatever. But this thing, we focus the entire 6-hour stream on nothing but made up brawls. And right. we're having the time of our life. That's a weird dichotomy. And they're not even official ones. They're just, it's almost like when they make us a nice polished one, we're like, meh, we don't want to play your thing you spent time and effort on. But we
like hacking Doom and putting penises in as the gun instead of something else. Like, you know, breaking the game is just part of.
Yes, that's what we like.
Maybe not us specifically, but generally speaking, there is a history in PC game of taking games and doing either dumb things or new game modes or whatever with it.
I played a lot of Quake and then I did and Doom, and I did a lot of modding and map building for both those games. I never once had a penis for a gun. Not one.
You didn't?
No.
Mm-mm. I'm pretty sure that exists.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
I will say this. I did do the spray mod in Counter-Strike where it was naked ladies. And yes. then you would spray the wall and people would stop. Because it was all a bunch of kids, they'd go, naked ladies, and they'd stare at it, and you'd just shoot them as they looked at it.
It was a tactic in the game for a while.
Yeah, I was guilty of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I also liked the built-in ones. I played a lot of Unreal Tournament, and so it was low-grav, insta-gib, facing worlds for
days.
Oh,
my gosh, dude. I love that so much. Same here. Played that to death. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing. Bo, you might be thinking of in Quake anyway, or even in Doom, the rocket launcher in both those games looks like a penis naturally. So it's possible that's what you were thinking of. But yeah, I'm pretty certain
there was a new Doom mod.
Oh yeah, did this thing at work. We'd play Quake after hours at this office I worked at. I may have told the story on the instance or somewhere else, but we ended up getting. A skin from, I can never remember his name. He's the screaming singer guy with tons of tattoos and never wears a shirt.
Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins, thank you.
Wow, really? Yes, that was it?
It's Henry Rollins. Nice. So we found a Henry Rollins skin, which was just Henry Rollins. Like, that's what he looked like. But then we went in, and I remember using some ancient version of Photoshop or something. This is like 97 or something. And taking the face of the owner of the company's wife, who we all hated because she was mean and awful. She was Cruella de Vil in real life. Took a photo of her and bitmapped it on the top of all the faces of these Henry Rollins characters. And then we just played Capture the Flag like all night until 3 a.m. And everybody in that game just looked like her in a Henry Rollins body.
Actually, that just reminded me. I did run into an interesting mod situation recently.
Okay.
I got it in my head that I wanted to play Left 4 Dead again.
Yeah.
So I installed Left 4 Dead 2, and apparently that saves mod settings that I don't remember ever downloading or playing. But the game starts, and four velociraptors holding pistols are standing there and proceed to start running around while the Cowboy Bebop theme plays. I was just like, when did I do this? I have no memory of playing Velociraptor Left 4 Dead.
That's amazing.
But apparently I did. Apparently that was an important part of my life.
Well, one of the things I learned from this experience with you guys is that when John just got the rudimentary custom game controls that I don't think, actually we didn't have those last year, right? They didn't exist yet, or did we? I don't remember. I think we had to live.
Did on one map, but we had two maps we could do it on this year.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So the first year, none of that. We had to just figure out games that didn't get all jacked up in the normal rule set. But John has these little tweaks and sliders and stuff that he did during this game. We all do if you run the game. And it just made me more and more wish that Blizzard would really blow that out and just let people have as much crazy fun as they want. The game proper still exists and still happens. But over here, you have just a playground sandbox where you can just really tweak it out. Like, there's no reason why these tools don't make it so we can't have five on five Junkrat matches, but yet it's not there. Like, I really want them to just let that gate open, just fling it open, let it all pour out.
That gate's flung open in Overwatch still, right? There's still the whole, it's pretty customizable there, right?
Very customizable, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we should be able to do that.
My kids play.
I think my favorite part of our games we played, and someone mentioned this chat room, and I have to mention it here, that I'd like to see incorporated into is the national anthem business. Except maybe like all the HGC teams can make up their own anthems at the beginning of important matches. They can sing their own made songs, like Tempo Storm is the greatest team in the States, or something like that. And, you know, it'd be cringeworthy, but cringe is good.
Have you ever heard? Here's the problem though. On Discord, if you have 10 people all trying to sing a national anthem, it's the worst sound you've ever heard. It's not that they can't sing.
Yeah, I was thinking we'd just get Kristen to sing everything.
Yes.
I was going to take on the O Canada for the cringe. And then we get Kristen to do U.S. National Anthem.
Who is trained.
But everyone wanted to sing, and we just rolled with it. And it was
not horrible. Everyone.
Well, everyone except for John.
John wasn't into it.
Sang.
Well, I couldn't do it either. By the end, when you guys were singing, I cut everybody off and threw y'all to the wolves. I was like, forget this. This is terrible.
Oh, we closed out on Pomp and Circumstance.
Yeah, well, you did. And it was terrible because when everyone sings at the same time, Discord goes, so you can't really hear anything. But Kristen on her own, she's like trained. She knows like opera stuff and all that. So she was like killing it.
So we'll have to think about that next year. When we do the national anthem, we'll have to assign a singular singer to songs if that's what we're doing.
I think John's going to lobby for not.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a team effort. Sometimes one person doesn't want to do what everyone else does, and they have to sit on the sideline for that.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, it's all good stuff. Very exciting. Now, I do have some good news because we did the charity thing during our normal time slot for There Will Be Dungeons. Guess what? This weekend, we're back. Yes, that's right. You heard me first, or heard it very first. Oh, and notice this chat room. Click on the emotes. Look at these cool new emotes. There's Bo.
Oh, that's right.
There's Hope. There's me. There's John with a mustache. There's John without one. There's Varel. And now I'm going to hit enter. Look at this. Look at all these. Oh, they're so good. Oh, John's faster than me. Beat me to it. How cool is that? Who did I miss?
Bok Bok.
Oh, I forgot about Bok Bok.
Well, there's a Bok Bok one?
Yeah,
oh, there is a Bok Bok.
It's just that one I drew. I made it. His ears are cut off, so it kind of sucks. But anyway, we got emotes now for the There Will Be Dungeons crew, and we're very excited to get it going again this weekend, bringing things back to where we were. We left it at a very strange place, so I'm very excited to get back to it.
You set Slave Town on fire and drove off into the night.
Yeah, with a bunch of rabbits chasing me, I think. It's a very odd experience.
There are Lattlebings looking for the carrots you promised them.
That's right. So my recommendation is tune in and check it out. We do it at 2 p.m. Pacific. That starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. Bo is our DM. It's me, John, Kristen, Kyle, making it happen. So be there this Saturday. Okay. I guess that's all I had to say about that. How about this? I got an email from a listener named Bagheera74. He's in the chat room. In fact, we've talked to him on and off today already. He says this. I'm over the moon that Yarel is coming to the game. Or Bo, how do you say her name again?
Yiddle. It's pronounced Yiddle.
It's not Yiddle.
For the 100th time.
You don't Yiddle. Have to yell it. You can say it with an accent and not
J-on,
yell.
J-on. J-on. It's Yiddle. Just accept it.
I'm
quit
getting...
making shade tweets. Sending your love to Trixler, okay. Being like, God, I love Trixler so much.
Okay, and to be so fair, much. I was not the first person to throw a shade tweet. The first thing that reminded me of it was someone said, boy, we're going to have weeks of listening to you-know-who try to pronounce that name.
Who said that?
I did not start it. They reminded me, and then I ran with it.
Who said that, by the way? Do you know
let
who?
Me see. Let me
was
see
it a listener it. Or something?
Yeah, somebody.
You know. Yiddle.
I gotta Yiddle. Go back through a few mentions.
I can't
here.
Say.
It's like, do you know anyone named Yolanda?
I don't know. When you buy Skittles, do you call? Do you, what do you
Yolanda.
Call?
It's you... not Yolanda. Like it's Yolanda.
That's not what we're saying.
You're saying viral.
No, Yarel.
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 I just said it without saying Y at
There's
all.
There's no E. There's no E.
Okay, we're gonna find out who says. Yiddle. We're gonna have someone pronounce it. Hold on. I bet I can find an official one. Pronounce. How to pronounce Yarel. Here we go. According to a blue on Battle.net. Wait a minute. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm going to play them for you.
Yarel.
Yarel. That's one.
Yeah, that's like if you're from.
Yarel.
Here's another one.
Yarel.
Oh, that's wrong. Hold on.
That's just Yarel. A person crying into a microphone.
I heard Laurel or maybe Yanny. Okay, wait.
Yanny. Oh, no.
Here's...
it's Yiddle. It's easy.
Here's one more.
Yarel.
Yarel.
Yarel. Why don't you just play the Kevin Johnson lore video? He says it right out of the gate.
Oh yeah, he totally does.
He says it. He totally says it wrong. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, here it is. Oh, it's from Bagheera. He's who started it. He said, "This is the number one character I've wanted since she was introduced in WoW. Now we can hear you know who's weird pronunciation of her name all the time."
Ah, nice one. Throwing some shade. I haven't even gotten to your damn email yet. Okay, so hold on. I'm gonna play.
Wait, who's you know who is it? Scott?
You know that's you, yeah. Skeletal Man.
Skeletal Man, that's you.
It's Yiddle. I right, play Alliance. You guys are horde scumbags.
I'm gonna listen to what the dude at Blizzard says. So hold on. Here we go. Okay. Okay. All track pass. Here we go.
A new realm has come to the Nexus.
And- oh, this is the realm one. I don't want this. It's not what I want. I want the one where it's her. Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. My apologies.
We did get to hear the cool horn though.
Yeah.
After their homeworld fell to demonic corruption, the Draenei found refuge on Draenor, and for a time, new peace. Raised within the Temple of Kerebor, Yarel served as an acolyte until a mysterious...
He says it wrong. he said it wrong. What do you want me to tell you? He's like, I can't say Yiddle, so I'm going to say Yarel or whatever.
Yarel. He's not...
Yarel. What I love is that Bo doesn't even hear it correctly. He says it one way, and anytime he hears it a different way somehow.
It's Yiddle.
Okay, I found one more. Let's see if this is it.
Penis.
Oh, that's not it at all. That's really wrong.
Penis.
Oh, here's a better one.
Penis.
Penis. Who says penis?
Penis.
Penis.
Isn't that the Vipers president?
Penis.
Penis, yeah.
Penis.
Mike Penis.
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 Why is everyone saying penis?
Penis.
Okay, that's right. Let's see what Bo
see,
is.
See, there's so many people that say penis and it's a penis.
Bo.
Okay, there's Bo.
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 Bo. Oh my gosh. Jeez. All right, I'm done with that website. that was really loud and annoying. This email, sorry. Yarel is coming to the game and he's super excited. I remember playing the alpha before Warlords was even released, and as soon as I finished Yarel's storyline in that expansion, she became my number one most wanted character for Heroes of the Storm. Number two was Alexstrasza, so he's already got her. It is also great for those of us who play Draenei on the bulk of our WoW characters to finally have one of our heroes. Now that we have our first Draenei, who do you want next? Akama, Velen, or maybe even Eredar, an Eredar like Archimonde and Kil'jaeden, or Kil'jaeden, rather. Your friend and worst TOTS player ever, Bagheera 74. All right. I want one of the Kil'jaeden-style demonized goat people. That's what I want.
Eridar. The Eridar. The red ones, the red Draenei, basically.
Yeah, those are cool. Or like Jiraxxus.
They're Eridar.
I want Jiraxxus. That's what I want. He's one of those.
Yeah, he is.
Right? He could come out and go, you face Jiraxxus, exactly.
Eridar, you lord of the Burning Legion.
And he could kill the little gnome on his way out whenever he comes into the game or whatever. Excuse me. That's what I want more than anything right now is him. So if I'm picking, that's my pick. What do you? Who do you guys want in the Draenei line of Eridar and or Draenei characters?
Well, you know how when we talk about Alarak, we always go Alarakakakakakak. You ought to know by now.
Yeah.
And we like it because it reminds us of a Billy Joel song.
Yeah.
Well, Akama. Every time I hear his name, I think Akama, comma, 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 chameleon.
What? You don't think Akama Akuma Kakmata?
No, Bo. For some reason, I don't.
What was that? Wait, do that again? What was that?
Akama Matata. No, Draenei.
I don't think you did either.
I flubbed it the first time.
Just a bit.
Oh, my Lord. I don't think it's Akuna Matata, by the way, is what you're looking
Akama
for.
Akama Matata, though.
Akama Matata, got it.
But anyways, John, it reminds you of Akama Chameleon? That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Akama Chameleon.
Right. Which is good. There's Culture Club, man. There's nothing wrong with them. Right?
I'm happy with Yidel. I don't think I'd be happy to see any of these heroes join the Nexus, but Yidel would be the one I want. So
there it is. You guys remember this?
Every time you click him.
Yeah, every time
it's
you click
that for days.
You click Boy George, that comes out every time. Anyway, thanks for the email. You can email us at core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com, which is also our website, heroesforyou.com. And I think that's going to do it for us. We are playing games tonight, so stick around and watch, won't you? We're going to, I don't know what we're going to play. We're going to play some games. Probably the
whole
crew.
Heroes of the Storm, probably.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm, I think, is the plan. So stick around for that. And in the meantime, like I said, heroesforyou.com, patreon.com/coreshow. Check us out over there. You can also email us, core@heroesforyou.com. I already said that. That's great. And you can follow us on Twitter, @coreheroes, @John_Jagger, @ScottJohnson, and @BoSchwartz. Or is it B.O. Skahorwartz?
Sometimes it's Mr. Biao, Mrs. Biao Schwartz.
Oh.
I get, people think I'm a woman sometimes.
Do you have
a
Biao Schwartz.
Yeah.
A fan of Euro.
This is going to be a good long-running thing until we get a new character. I'm very excited about it. Anyway, thank you all for listening, for joining us, for those who are here live. And a reminder, if you'd like to watch the show live, we do it every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific. What is that, 9 your time, Bo? 8?
That's 9 Eastern.
9 Eastern, that's right. So be here or be square. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys later. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.